coincidentally, in the book of Malachi. And probably already figured it out from now that we are not doing a verse by verse study. But rather, I am doing a comparative study in the sense that the day in which we live is much like the day in which Malachi lived. Folks have changed. People are feeling the same way. And you know that God has changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then, after we approved out next week, if my memory serves me correctly, next week ought to be the end of old Malachi. And then we're going to start on what Paul the Apostle said. And I'm going to focus on Romans. And again, we're not going to do a verse-by-verse study in the book of Romans, by no means. And it is important. I am not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. I would never do that. But I want you to be sure that you are born again. I know that I'm saved. And I've been saved for a long, long time. That's not the issue. But it's important that you know you are saved. And the only one who can make that determination is you and the Lord. I have nothing to do with that. And then you know by now that the major part of me is learning to trust the Lord. And I trust the Lord. My problem is my prayer is, Lord, help me in my unbelief. And I am satisfied that everything that comes into my life, He is teaching me to trust Him more fully. And I am a little bit on the slow side. It takes me a long time to learn. Gene used to always say to me, I don't know what God is doing in your life, but I wish you'd hurry up and learn it, because I'm tired of going through it with you. It's what she would always tell me. And so today, I really want, as we continue on in Malachi, I want to encourage you. I really, really, I think all of us need encouragement. I mean, we live in a darkened day. All you gotta do is turn on the television. All you gotta do is talk to other folks, religious or not. We live in a darkened day. But I want to assure you, I want to encourage you that there is no day so dark that God doesn't have a faithful witness. Even in our darkened day as today, God has given, or He has given us faithful witness. And will you, as a believer, be that witness? Will I, as a believer, be that witness? And as I have always alluded to, you guys excite me. You really do. And I am convinced that God's going on. You guys know what's going on. And girls, excited about that. I am. But my question is, will you, as a believer, be God's witness in the darkened day in which we live? Listen to old John. In John chapter 1, verse 4, and John is writing about our Lord, and I know nothing better to talk about than talk about our Lord. But John had to say, in him was life. I mean, John chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5, in him was life, and the life that is in him, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. They understood it. So the question is, will you be a light in this darkened day that we now live in? And the idea here in John's Gospel is that darkness never succeeded in overtaking light. Never. And we live in a darkened world. We really do. But if you will be the light, then darkness will never overtake you. God has seen to it. God has purposed it. And I remember from reading Isaiah that God will do all his good pleasure. And the idea here is the word, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, in that word, katalambino. Okay, and it's translated light, it's translated take three times, it's translated to overtake one time. Darkness will never overtake that which is light. No. Listen to what God's Word says. And I'm in verse 10, 19, and verse 10. And God is talking to Elijah the prophet. I am not Elijah the prophet. But there's a principle here. God speaks to you, and he speaks to me through his word. God hasn't changed. And he said, as we see in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. God, I am jealous of you, for you. That's what Elijah claims to the Lord. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. Even I only am left. God, I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only faithful one that's left. And they are trying to take my life. And they seek my life to take it away. And God said unto Elijah in verse 18, Elijah, are you listening, boy? Elijah is like me. Elijah did not always listen. But God speaks through his word that now remember, Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one left, and they're beginning to take my life. And verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the need. what I'm saying, two things. God, even in the darkened day in which we live, God has reserved for himself those that will be light. And the darkness will never overtake that which is light. And number two, this is the sort of day in which Malachi, the prophet, lived. All the children of Israel, all they have been so darkened. And oh God, God sent the prophet Malachi to the people. You see, God always, always has a people who are faithful. The issue is, will you be one of those people? I don't know. Only God knows. Only you know. Listen to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they, and you remember all that had gone on before, how Israel as a whole, all they worship God, but their heart really wasn't in it. There was a lot of things about God they didn't understand. People today worship God. We live in a time when everybody is religious, but not everybody knows all about God. And I'm convinced not everybody is saved. So you know about the time, about the day in which Malachi lived. I mean, things got so bad that God himself was complaining. And the people answered, well, seven times. God, don't you know what we're doing? God, we're doing exactly what we were told to do. We're doing exactly what we are supposed to do. Where is it? You see, they question, oh my God. We can't do that. We would never do that. I am convinced there's nothing wrong with saying, God, why? Because I don't always understand. But God always knows my heart. He does. He does. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Notice the word he. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. In the midst of that darkened day, when Israel seemed to be characterized by a feeling of self-satisfaction, it was true in that day. I fear it's true in this day. Oh, God complained with the people as a whole. And the people were almost speechless. But then, notice, they that feared the Lord. And at the close of that verse, we see that they that feared the Lord oftentimes thought on him.
Amen.
Oh, I understand well. And I don't fear the Lord in the same sense that the lost fears the Lord. I don't fear, I'm not afraid of judgment because Jesus Christ took judgment for me in my place. I realize that I will be judged one day, but it won't be for sin. See, that's already been settled. Jesus Christ paid my sin's debt. If you're born again, he paid your sins then. And the sadness is, you and I were guilty. I like to use the word guilty of sin. Oh, I was guilty. Yeah. Jesus Christ paid my sins then. Oh, listen. We need to understand this. And only when we understand do we begin to fear the Lord. For fear is the beginning of knowledge. I don't know anything until I know this. This is the beginning of knowledge. No, I don't fear the Lord. Of the Lord in that sense. No, not at all. Oh, but I do fear him. I have a reverence for him. I have a love for him. I really do. And we see that there was a people, the vast majority of the people, they were self-satisfied. But there were a people among them that feared the Lord. Oh, they honored God. God, you are Father. God, you are Master. And you know, those that fear God live like this. I'm not saying that those who fear God are sinless. No, as long as we live in this vile body, we're not going to be sinless. As long as this whole body lives, we're not going to be sinless. Sin has ruined us that much. God is so holy that he cannot look on one enemy. He cannot behold evil. He is so holy. He is. There were those that still offered the right sacrifices. There were still those that were faithful in their they took the best that they had to the altar. Not the blind, not the lame, not the crippled. They took the best that they had to Almighty God. God, oh listen, he wants not third place, not second place, not fourth place. He wants first place in your life. He wants first place in my life. But I want to call your attention to the last part of Malachi 3, verse 16. Those that feared the Lord, they thought upon his name. And the word thought in the Hebrew is a very intense word. I have read some verses which will better help you and me to understand what that word thought really means. Listen to Isaiah chapter 13, verse 17. Behold, now God is speaking. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them who do not regard silver, and as for gold, they have no delight in it. I call your attention to the word regard. Those that feared the Lord, those that thought upon His name, they had a regard for Him. They regarded Him. They esteemed Him as most important. You know, we live in a day when they talk about high esteem. You need high esteem. The problem is, men think too highly of themselves. No, we don't need high esteem. That we might think better for ourselves. We need to esteem others better than ourselves. We need to esteem God better than ourselves. They had a regard to Him, and I also find it interesting that the Hebrew word, which is translated regard, well, listen to Isaiah 33, verse 8. The highways are desolate. The wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the city. He regardeth no man. That same word, regard. These people that I'm talking about, they had a regard for Almighty God. You and I need a regard for Almighty God. And both of these same passages of Scripture use the same word that old Malachi used. They that feared the Lord also thought. And I'm using the idea that Malachi used is the same thing as regard. Let me show you something else in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. Who is Isaiah talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, you think you are acquainted with grief? And I'm not downing what you have experienced, by no means. Jesus Christ, He is acquainted with grief. And I'm convinced no man ever suffered like that man suffered. Jesus the Christ. And acquainted with grief. And I am convinced that when Jesus Christ delivers the remnant of the house of Israel, I am convinced that those whom He saves will quote Isaiah 53. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. Oh, when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, how many of those that were Israelites hid themselves from Jesus Christ? They hid, as it were, their faces from Him. And they said, He is despised, He was despised, and we esteem Him not. Oh, but listen, as believers, we have been redeemed. As believers, we are to be a light in this darkened world. A light unto God. Yeah, many people And they were religious. All they thought after God were away. But the whole time, there were those that feared the Lord. There were those that thought, that regarded Him. The point is, will you, who are born again, be such a light? And the word translated esteemed Him. And we esteem Him not. It's translated thought by old Malachi. We did not regard Him. We esteem Him not. And we live today as so many people. They don't regard Almighty God. They esteem Him not. And you know, folks, just like that, religion, that's not the issue. But they have no regard for Almighty God. And then I want you to listen to old Paul. And I understand that Malachi spoke in Hebrew and old Paul spoke in Greek. I understand that. But we listen to what old Paul said and what Malachi said and what Paul said. Well, they said much the same thing. And this was written about 50 AD, I don't know, people don't agree, and I didn't live back then. But this is the Philippi chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And the Greek word which is translated think really means to reckon. It means to count. It means, as it were, to take inventory. Yeah. Question. What do men normally take inventory of? They inventory things that are valuable to them. Things that are profitable to them. I mean, if it wasn't valuable, they wouldn't give them a ring. They really wouldn't. But those in Malachi, they thought on His name. They regarded it. God was most important. Number one. When I was much younger, I used to watch wrestling on TV. Wrestling! And there was a wrestler on TV, and he would always make his appearance and get in front of the camera and hold up for a finger, and he would say, Ichiban! Number one. He was number one. Ha ha ha. Boy, I got news for him. God's number one. He really is. And the people, there were a people in Malachi's day. Oh, they had a regard. They thought upon God. Yeah. And again, I find it interesting that in the Septuagint, and the Septuagint is the Old Testament in Hebrew, that was translated in And I have been told, I have read that Jesus Christ used the Septuagint. I don't know. But the Greek letters took the word that Paul used, and we read it. And the three scriptures that we read, the same word, the very same word. That ought to tell us something. I find that most interesting. And there's another thing to be considered. Christ Himself in the Sermon on the Mount. Three whole chapters. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. One sermon. Listen. In Matthew 6:21, and I'm summing it up. And he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The vast majority of people in Malachi's day found their treasure in their possessions. That's where their heart was. That's where folks' heart is today. It's in their possessions. Listen to Solomon, and Solomon was the son of King David, who was the son. Listen to Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And these people, those that we are talking about, those that feared the Lord, those that regarded Him, those that thought upon Him, where was their heart? Not in their possessions. They took their best to the altar. They sacrificed the best they had. God was most important in their lives. If you and I are going to be the light that you and I need to be in this dark and night, then God has got to be number one. We must fear the Lord, yes. We must think upon the Lord, yes. He must be number one about everything. He's got to be. God is called Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. He really will. He is called Jehovah Tekkenu. And I guess I'm pronouncing that right. He is the Lord our righteousness. He is called Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of our peace. He is called Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He is called Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord is there. These people of whom I speak thought upon His name. They regarded all they had. I have high esteem for it. God is number one in their lives. absent all understanding. They knew that God was their banner. They knew that God was there in their lives. I'm talking about. They knew. And Malachi in 3:16 received the words that feared the Lord, spake often with one another. They talked oftentimes to each other. They talked about the Lord. And the Lord hearkened. And the Lord heard it. He knew what was going on. He really did. He knows. He knows everything. He really does. I noticed that there was a sense of fellowship. You've heard the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Yeah. Those birds, did they ever flock together? They really did. Why? Because they had the same treasure. They all feared the Lord. They all thought upon His name. They all regarded it. They all esteemed it. And the Lord hearkened. And the Lord heard. Oh, they brought the right offerings. Why? Because they had a love, they had a fear for the Lord. All they thought upon Him. And the word that translated heard and heard it suggests that God has the word been over the view. Oh, I understand. God is no respecter of persons. I understand that. But God heard it. God, as it were, bent down. And He listened. And understand that the Bible is written in a way that you and I can understand. But the point is, we live in such a day that old Malachi is here. I mean, here we are, and all we have to do is look around. A lot of folks don't know the same God that we know. They don't fear Him. They don't think of Him. They don't regard Him. Now, here is the issue. If you have been born again, will you be that light? Will you be that witness in this darkened land that there is a God? Oh, that God loves His people. And that God is sovereign. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God cannot do. Except bodily Himself. God will never do that. I don't want Him to, neither do you. But God is merciful. God is truthful. God is God. I'm so glad that He's had mercy upon me. Those that are outside of Christ, oh, I thank you. I thank you. If I could, if I could take you by the mouth of the neck, and if I could shake some sense into you, I would. But all I can do is make you mad, and I want you to be mad. I can't shake any sense into you. I wish I could, but I can't. All this God has given us the Scripture. And in the Scripture, Jesus, one of the first things he said when he began his earthly ministry is repent and believe the gospel. I can't say any better. All I can say is I know that he is merciful. Why? Because he